report. Police in Philadelphia now confirm at least three people were shot after a fight broke out outside a Ramadan event to mark the end of the holy month. KYW radio reporter Nina Barati is there.
People were here. They were just, you know, looking to celebrate, eat some food, and spend time with their community.
99% of the individuals at this event are good people who wanted to have a good time. And once again, we have young people engaging in gunfire.
It's still unclear what that fight was about, but police say officers hit a child in all the chaos.
Unfortunately, during this incident, one of our patrol wagons struck a young child and she recovered a fractured leg.
Chief Kevin Bethel says victims are now in local hospitals in stable condition and they're expected to be okay. But he addressed the city's recurring violence.
Some of them are out here actively engaging in gunfire, actively wanting to be involved in shootings and want to, and as you see today, do that.
Several people are currently in police custody. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin hasn't had a Department of Natural Resources secretary since Adam Payne stepped down in October. Governor Evers tells the Journal Sentinel he wants to make sure he makes the right choice. Also in October, the state Senate fired more than half the Natural Resources Board, which sets the agency's policies. Enbridge Energy's controversial Line 5 will likely come up at next week's permanent forum on indigenous issues in New York. Critics are worried about plans for an oil tunnel under Michigan's Straits of Mackinac.
If a leak happened within that tunnel, it would cause a catastrophic failure, pumping crude oil into the Straits and into the Great Lakes.
Wes Furlong is a lawyer with the Native American Rights Fund. Line 5 carries up to 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas every day. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Area fire crews responded to another blaze in Lake Haley this week. According to the Chippewa Fire District, crews responded to a fire at a business in Lake Haley on Tuesday morning. The fire reportedly occurred at A to B Mobile Repair on 49th Avenue at around 10:30 a.m. When crews arrived, they found the fire coming from the ceiling of the business and were able to extinguish it in short order. Nobody was reported injured as a result of the fire, and fire officials are still investigating what caused it to start. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding the public to be aware that black bears are beginning to emerge from hibernation. As the bears wake up from their winter naps, they'll be searching for food and new territory to occupy, which could draw them closer to the public than most residents would like. Northern Wisconsin residents especially should take preventive steps to keep bears away, like taking down bird feeders, reducing the smell from trash cans, and limiting how long their pets are left outside. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare. Right. Yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Brewers get a win in Cincinnati. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers battled to a 9-5 victory over the Reds. Another new face in the crew lineup, 23-year-old Blake Perkins, got the start in center field and drove in three runs. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, like, this kid loves baseball. His personality is so calm and cool, collected, and he watches the game as good as anyone.
NBA, the Bucks with a much-needed win, 104-91 over the Boston Celtics. Giannis Antetokounmpo had to undergo an MRI after limping off the court in the third quarter with pain in his left calf muscle. As for the game, there was only two shots from the free throw line, a new NBA record. Doc Rivers.
Man, 157 game time. My goodness. You can go to a game and still have dinner.
NFL, the Packers tailgate tour continues its drive around the state.
Some of the nonprofits, the doors about to close, and the Green Bay Packer Foundation helps them.
That's Packers Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy tonight and a low in the low 40s. Clouds thicken for tomorrow, the wind picks up, and a few showers around for the afternoon and evening. A high to the upper 50s. Sun's back and breezy Friday, high around 60. Sunshine in 70s for the weekend. It's 69 degrees right now.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Wednesday on Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film CEO Ann Reed and Elton John tribute artist Tom Cridland. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics. Please allow me to introduce myself. And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Wednesday, Dom, a happier happy hour rolling into it. Got Rich lightly screening your phone calls. And I got to think the walls are closing in on Donald Trump right about now. As we mentioned in the last hour, there is breaking news on Trump's latest effort to delay his trial. Washington Post reporting, Trump tries and fails to delay New York criminal trial for a third time this week. Strike three, fella.
Oh, man.
A little of the coverage here. Dateline New York. Donald Trump's lawyers Wednesday failed to persuade an appeals court judge to delay the former president's New York criminal trial scheduled to begin Monday. That's next week, Dom. By saying the presiding judge was not qualified to oversee the proceedings, and that a postponement was necessary. You must decide whether or not you are qualified to hear my trial. And the judge said,
you are not qualified.
And the judge said, but I am. Now, appeals court judge Ellen Gessmer denied Trump's request shortly after it was filed. 5-10 minutes, how long do you think it took? It was Trump's lawyer's third attempt this week to delay his trial for allegedly falsifying business documents to help cover up an affair before the 2016 election. I would call that voter deception, Dom. Anyways, Trump, the first ex-president to face criminal prosecution. The first ex-president to face criminal prosecution has been indicted in three other jurisdictions and has pled not guilty to all counts.
Crudy, Trump lawyer Emil Bove argued in an emergency proceeding before Gessmer that the New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan should have recused himself. Prosecutors and an attorney from the courts who represented Merchan said a delay was unwarranted. Merchan last year declined to step down from the New York criminal case after Trump's lawyers filed a complaint about the judge's daughter's profession as a political consultant and his small contribution to Joe Biden's 2020 presidential campaign and a progressive group. Rashawn's adult daughter owns a political consulting and marketing company, which has worked on campaign materials for the Biden-Harris campaign, Rep. Adam Schiff, and other prominent Democrats. Trump lawyers recently filed a new motion arguing Rashawn must recuse himself in the interest of fairness. It was not immediately clear whether Rashawn had ruled, but a decision was not public. Judges in New York State are supposed to bow out of situations where there may be an appearance of favoritism. Jury selection scheduled to start on Monday in Manhattan for Trump's first of four criminal trial and the first ever criminal trial of a former president. He is the likely Republican nominee, yada, yada, yada. On Tuesday, a New York appeals court judge denied Trump's request to delay the trial and a gag order against him imposed by Marchand remained in effect. A different appeals court judge on Monday rejected Trump's attempt to delay the trial while Trump pursued an appeal to determine whether a change of venue is necessary outside Manhattan, a largely liberal part of the state. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What do you think the odds are he'll file some other appeal for some reason tomorrow?
Thursday, Friday, yeah. Saturday, Sunday. He'll still
Sunday,
be
Sunday.
We'll write the whole document, but you'll only need the edge. I suspect they'll still be putting out delay tactics as late as Monday morning, Dom. They'll be seeking any sort of Hail Mary because this will literally be the first trial of a former president, criminal trial. Obviously, he also has the unprecedented position of being the first former president civilly found responsible for sexually battering a woman, rape.
Right.
And, you know, above and beyond that, defrauding the state of New York to the tune of nearly $500 million. Oh, yeah. The other thing that comes due on Monday, a second look at his bond, Dom, because my understanding, maybe it's not quite that soon, but his bond is not acceptable. The $175 million bond, we talked about the fact it says, and if it's unsuccessful, Trump will pay. But the whole reason you have a bonder is to say we will pay for an acceptable deposit that, you know, the defendant has put down.
Which is the full amount plus 10% generally. And now it's 175 mil down from the 454. And it's really not even that.
It's going to be a bad day for Trump come Monday, Dom.
Oh, don't worry. And it's tax day.
Holy suckers pay their taxes.
He's going to be also on that day signing whatever fraudulent, probably, tax filing he's going to do because that's how he rolls.
You mean his continuance? I know I'll be signing mine. Dom, more breaking news as we've been on the air here in the Happier Happy Hour. We talked about this surprising Arizona Supreme Court ruling that effectively threw that state back to the 1864 law. And surprisingly, and Jack from Merrimack had pointed out, well, didn't they pass a 15-week abortion ban in the state of Arizona? So effectively, you allowed an 1864 law to supersede current law. And I think it's a keen observation, Jack. Here's the latest from Arizona. This, my source, The Guardian. Arizona Republicans block abortion ban repeal after denouncing court ruling. So yesterday they hated this ruling. Today they blocked the repeal of the 1864 law. It's being reported. Republicans in Arizona halted an effort by Democrats on Wednesday, that's today, Dom, to repeal an 1864 law banning almost all abortions, which the state Supreme Court this week ruled could go into effect. The move came after Republican lawmakers in the state had denounced the court's decision, including some who had previously expressed support for the law. Looking at you, Carrie Lake. Oh, well, here she is. Donald Trump and other high-profile Republicans, such as Senate candidate Carrie Lake, had also declared their opposition to the ruling, Lake urging lawmakers to come up with an immediate common-sense solution that Arizonans can support. Well, even Donald Trump said that in the tarmac. This is going to get fixed very quickly. He supported this. He bragged about overturning the Roe v. Wade through the Dobbs decision, you know, impaneling the justices on the Supreme Court. Whether or not they were worthy, he put them there. He bragged about that again today. He did so in a video on Monday stating his abortion stance. But he's always changing his mind, Tom. Because in the same breath, he said, no, it's a states' rights issue, but Arizona went too far. But Arizona will solve this problem very rapidly. Well, the rapid solution offered by the Democrats was rejected today by the Republicans. Repeal the 1864 law. To my understanding, Dom, that would have put the 15-week abortion ban passed by the current legislature and signed by the governor into law. That would be the current. No, we're back to 1864. A little bit more here. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday that the 1864 law can go into effect, though it may not happen for weeks, under the law which predates Arizona statehood. Do you know how many people lived in Arizona approximately when this law was enacted, Dom?
In 1864, no.
Totality in the Arizona territory. About 6,300 people total lived in the territory. None of them, at least none of the voters, were women, of course. What else? That's I guess, the breaking. Dom, Democrats and one Republican lawmaker sought to repeal the law, but Republicans moved for a recess, preventing a vote on the matter. You know, they
I heard
run the legislature in Arizona. They control the action on the floor. If you've got something we don't want to get pressured, we'll just declare a recess. We'll take our ball and go home.
It'll be fixed promptly, according to the former president. And it was a Republican, along with many Democrats, wanting to repeal this law. And the majority of Republicans, the leadership, we're calling a recess. Call a recess. We're not going to deal with this right now. Gotta go.
This would have been such an easy way out for Arizona Republicans. I mean, this is an inflaming issue that's going to change potentially the outcome of the Arizona Senate race. Perhaps the presidential race at the top of the ticket. I mean, this changes the dynamic in Arizona. And Republicans had an easy out. Just let Democrats be. You could still characterize them post-birth abortion. No, I mean, you know what I mean? They would continue to do so. But they chose not to take the easy exit.
Well, is it
now easy they for own them? It?
When the leadership in the state Senate, the leadership in the state assembly wrote an amicus brief trying to convince the Arizona State Supreme Court to do this. Are you surprised that they went into recess?
No.
They don't want this, man. Because what are they going to do? They got to deal with all their religious nut jobs who think that, you know, Joe Biden wants to murder kids after they're born. This is the reality of what that party has gotten into. So they don't, I mean, they're already losing the Republicans on the hard right pro forced government birthing lobby. They're already starting to lose them. If the Republicans, after filing this amicus brief, after doing everything they can, allow this 15-week law to go back into effect by repealing this 1864 law, well, they'd slice off more of the Republican mega support. It's a lose-lose for them.
Isaac, we see you. You're first in the queue. Like to hear from Georgia, 844-967-2789. Also, Dom, a story out of Florida. The Florida GOP chair. Oh, he had a hell of a bender of a week.
Yeah, he did. Man, overwhelming. Trashing hotel rooms. Wow.
Man, gotta be some kind of a rock star for that, don't you? I don't recall. I mean, you know, pulled out of hotel rooms by police before, but never because we trashed the place.
Not like that, man. Don't you know who I think I am?
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. That's who we think we are. Some call us the greatest radio show ever. Mostly us, but you know, we're right. And you're right for listening. Isaac, you be patient. You're first on the phones. Get in the queue. 844-967-2789. I can't wait for the Trump trial on Monday. But first, Friday, Dom. Trump and MAGA Mike. I think he's a anti-abortion guy in his own regard. And they're also election integrity experts. They're having a presser on Friday. We'll talk more.
Yeah, they know all about it.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation, out-of-control immigration, insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Crudy, a little note here. The bond issue we were talking about, New York Attorney General Tish James, she's going to have a hearing on Monday, April 22nd. So a week from Monday. A week from Monday. After Trump's trial starts, then Tish James is going to put a microscope up the $175 million and see how real that is in a week.
I'm looking forward to that. And of course, the U.S. Supreme Court hearing oral arguments April 25th about presidential immunity. What an asinine circumstance that will be. But it will make for interesting talk radio here on the greatest radio show ever.
The fall of Western civilization will be on the radio.
May you live in interesting times, Tom.
Indeed.
844-967-2789. Isaac, calling in from Georgia. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hi, Isaac.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good.
Y'all were talking about the 1864 law. I'm just worried about other 1800s laws. Like, do you think they're going to start burning witches?
Well, that might predate the 1800s. If they could, I think the Marjorie Taylor Greens would be all down for the barbecue. I'm just saying that, Isaac. And she's from your state. Isaac,
witches everywhere.
Isaac, Marjorie Taylor Greene serves from the state of Georgia. How's that make you feel?
I don't know who that is.
Well, I'm sorry. That's the wrong answer. Marjorie Taylor Greene is a congresswoman from the state of Georgia who has made a point of being disruptive in the House of Representatives. And recently, she said that the eclipse and the reported, earthquake in New York were signs from God. And then she got really mad when people made fun of her for saying that. That was on top of her earlier statement about these Jewish space lasers. And she has also filed a motion to vacate the Speaker of the House, MAGA Mike Johnson. So she is a chaos agent from your state, Isaac. But if you listen to the Devil's Advocates each and every day, we'll teach you more about this stuff. Very important.
We'll get you up to speed, man. I'll tell you this, Isaac, why don't you run against her? Anything would be better, my friend.
844-967-2789. Dom, the social D, the prison bound? That's a request going out for Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, baby.
Did you see the former Trump Org CFO has been neutralized? They sent his ass to Rikers Island.
Again. And
yes, he's been sent to Rikers Island, apparently for perjuring himself, which he's now pled guilty, and been sentenced to 5 additional months at Rikers Island. And
I wonder if he gets his old bed back.
That's not Club Fed, Dom. Rikers Island is not a nice place. I've seen some documentaries on that. Overcrowded. And here is a little of the reporting at the Raw Story, one of my favorite aggregators. Trump CFO sent to Rikers facility that holds inmates with contagious diseases.
There's a lot of that Trump infection going around.
Former Trump Organization CFO Alan Weisselberg Wednesday was sent to Rikers Island facility that houses inmates with contagious diseases. According to city records, Weisselberg's new address at the West facility appeared on New York City's Correctional Department website hours after he was sentenced following a guilty plea to 2 counts of felony perjury. Now consider this. He perjured himself at the fraud trial for the Trump Organization.
Yes.
And Trump's going on trial again on Monday for what? Financial dealings.
Criminal trial, not the civil trial like the fraud trial.
This is a criminal trial, but you guess who the defense is going to have a hard time calling as a defense Alan witness. The CFO, Alan Weisselberg, who has shown a propensity to perjure himself at trial. I mean, why would he have not repeated this effort at the Trump criminal trial, tried to scuttle it, if you will, through false testimony? Well, now it's going to be hard because he's sitting his ass at Rikers Island for perjuring at the last trial feloniously, for which he's been convicted. No allegedly necessary, Dom. The lockup at 1606 Hazen Street in Queens. Here's the quote, Dom. Houses inmates with contagious diseases as part of the Correction Department's Communicable Disease Unit. Multiple city records show. Wonder what he's got, Dom. The West facility also includes single-cell units. Oh, this is it. He's going into isolation. Separate from the ward, according to the department, it features in a recent New York One report about one detainee's report on conditions to Rikers Island's Oversight Board. Virgil Carter reportedly said he was housed in the Communicable Disease Unit for solitary confinement purposes. Well, you can't put Weisselberg and General Pop, some MAGA Aryan Brotherhood guy, off his ass.
Oh, come on. He's a good soldier, brother. What are you talking about? He's lying and going to Rikers for Donald Trump. Isn't he still on Trump's payroll?
Dominic, Jennifer Parrish of the Urban Justice Center told New York One detainees are locked in the West facility units for up to 24 hours a day. Probably going in a solitary unit for 24 hours a day. Talking about going stir crazy. Christopher Boyle of the New York County Defender Services said of solitary Rikers units, there are rats, there are mice dropping, there are insects all around. They are screaming for attention from the officers who are basically ignoring them. I mean, it doesn't sound like humane treatment, you know, but you get what you deserve eventually, Dom, I'd like to think. In December, one West facility detainee appeared in a New York Daily News report about accusations that he'd crept out of his lock cell, smashed a female officer's body camera, and bit her wrist. Strange. Weisselberg, who served as Trump's family accountant previously, was sentenced to 5 months for tax evasion as part of a criminal investigation into the Trump's organization accounting last year. He was released after serving 3 months. And according to Business Insider reports from January of 2023, this will be a return visit to the West facility for Weisselberg. I bet he does get his own unit.
He'll call the West Wing. Trump will join you there soon.
He's in the safest and the nicest area to serve in Rikers. Jail reform advocate Malmick Act told Business Insider. The report notes, like all inmates there to serve a sentence, Weisselberg will be required to work, most likely in the kitchen or the bakery. Prison bound. Weisselberg received another 5 months Wednesday and went directly to jail. Did not collect $200. Did not pass go after pleading guilty to lying under oath in Trump's civil trial, in which he falsely claimed he had not been involved in evaluating the square footage of Trump Tower. Apparently, that was a big lie. Now,
so Weisselberg goes to jail. Michael Cohen has been to jail. Well, what about Trump?
Monday is the start of another day for him, Dom. Very desperate, dark and desperate time in the Trump life. I think Monday is going to be the worst day of the rest of his life until now. Because it could get worse from there.
Until Tuesday, man.
Until conviction day. And, I cannot imagine Trump would end up in Rikers. Or like Club Fed. Come back with us. Depends, though. New York State trial? It's going to New York prison. We are the Devil's Advocates. I hate to be gleeful about the soon-to-be incarceration of Alan Weisselberg.
Being served. Always.
Going back to jail.
Hey, everybody. Todd Allball, Thursday, noon to 2, talking with Jeffrey Hoffman, converting the DeLorean to electric on Civic Media's Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
C
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Silver alerts will now be issued when children go missing but don't qualify for any other kind of alert. The Prince Act is named after Prince McCree, who went missing in Milwaukee last fall and was found dead the next day. His family had asked for an Amber Alert, but his case didn't meet the criteria. Federal regulators may have accidentally given hackers the tools to disrupt America's trucking industry. Long-haul truckers are now required to log their hours on wireless devices, which can be manipulated remotely.
When regulators are introducing new requirements, they have to be aware of the cybersecurity implications.
Jeremy Daly is the co-author of a study that shows how gadgets can introduce new vulnerabilities. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Altoona Police Department is asking for help from the public in finding a woman who has been missing for weeks. Officials say Marguerite Endres has been missing since February 1st, and some of her personal belongings had been found near the Chippewa River. Authorities say the 56-year-old woman was homeless, but sometimes stayed at a house in Altoona and frequented the downtown Eau Claire area. She also sometimes goes by the name Marguerite Sikowski. Anybody with information should contact the Altoona Police Department. The Chippewa Valley Regional Airport will receive federal funding to construct a new 5,000-square-foot hangar. According to a press release from Senator Tammy Baldwin, over $2.6 million in federal funding has been allocated to rural airports in Wisconsin, with the majority of that funding going to the Chippewa Valley. The airport will receive just over $2 million to construct a two-bay South General Aviation apron hangar for storage, maintenance, and service, which officials hope will also generate revenue. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Curb Your Enthusiasm's final episode was last Sunday. Susie Essman, who plays foul-mouthed Susie Green on the show, says fans are visibly upset when they approach her on the street and she is kind and gracious to them, adding that she thinks fans want her to tell them to go bleep themselves and keep walking. Essman says that is not how she is at all in real life, and that's why it's called acting. I'm sure she is lovely in real life, but her character will be missed. Sylvester Stallone has been accused of creating a toxic environment on the set of Tulsa King. Stallone is the lead actor of the Taylor Sheridan executive-produced show, which is currently filming its second season in Atlanta. Stallone was overheard saying to the director that the background actors were ugly and that he wanted to be surrounded by young, pretty girls. Is anyone surprised? Folks, if you take steroids for decades, it's bound to affect your ability to speak intelligently, especially if you were incapable of doing so beforehand. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray evening shower, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, and a low in the low 40s. Clouds thicken for tomorrow, the wind picks up, and a few showers around for the afternoon and evening. A high to the upper 50s. Sun's back and breezy Friday, high around 60. Sunshine in 70s for the weekend. It's 69 degrees right now.
Earl Ingram.
So let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Hump Day Edition. Rolling through a happier happy hour. Your call is always welcome here. 844 967-2789. Dom, I want to put some good news out there. There was a missing persons report in the state of Florida this past week, and there was some great concern for an adult male, George Wolf Riley Jr., who had gone missing. His family didn't know where he was, and this had been a matter of days. So they called the cops, and they found him, and he has been recovered in what they describe as good health, Tom. I found this story at the Daily Beast. Let me read. When George Riley Jr.'s family reported him missing last week, the 43-year-old, oh yeah, his job, Dom, he's the Florida Republican Party executive director.
Ooh, that sounds very fancy, like very high up in the Florida Republican Party. Isn't like he's Trump lives in Florida, right? That's Trump's party. Okay.
Trump does live in Florida. And this Florida man, this George Riley Jr., the executive director of the Republican Party, apparently was hiding out at the local Hampton Inn, laying waste to everything within reach. That's according down to a police report obtained by the Tampa Bay Times, which said Riley, 43, was thrown out of the hotel on Wednesday thanks to, and here's a quote, extensive drinking and damage caused to the room.
Was he partying with Joe Walsh? What's going on in Florida, man?
I don't know. Hotel employees said Riley had urinated and vomited throughout.
What? No, hang on. Let's just take a breather here, Crudy. You and I.
I'm just reading the quotes. I just read the quotes.
We've been in hotel rooms together a few times. Had many late nights, many miles, you know, between us here. Never threw up all over a hotel room. Never urinated all over a hotel room. What? This is the very he's the Florida Republican Party executive director.
Well, it was a multi-day bender, Tom. Hotel employees, again, let me read the quotes here, please.
Yeah, please.
Hotel employees said Riley had urinated and vomited throughout, trashed the room's electric blinds, and apparently, Tom, he was charged an additional fee for deep cleaning to try and undo the mess. Yes, the vomiting and urination all over the room dissuades the next stay at the Hampton Inn.
Right. Hey, but good news, he wasn't smoking any cigarettes in the room.
Come on, man. Whoever drank to point of urinating and vomiting in the hotel room without smoking something? I'm just telling you, he's probably smoking alongside. That's the least of his concerns, apparently. Dom, in a statement to the Tampa Bay Times, Riley said, and this feels very sincere, you know, because once you've been caught, I'm deeply sorry. I'm deeply sorry. I've been dealing with alcoholism and mental health issues. Well, what a fine candidate you are then for executive director of the Republican Party of Florida. You know,
It's not like he was getting into threesomes or anything like that.
Wasn't that the last director of the Republican Party in Florida? Anyways, I will pay for any damages that were caused. Yeah, no doubt. They'll sue your ass otherwise. I apologize to the employees for my bad behavior, and I'll be seeking help soon. Soon, Dom.
Soon, okay.
Dom, he hopes his planned recovery will make him a better father, a better person, and a better all-around employee. I think he's just following the lead of Rudy Giuliani right about now.
So he left the fam for days. No one knew where he was.
Not spending less time with the family. On April 2nd, Dom, Riley's family told police they hadn't been able to reach him since March 29th, understanding there are 31 days in March. So this had been, you know, like 4 or 5 days. Riley was found Friday by deputies with the Osceola County Sheriff's Office, 2 days after leaving the Hampton Inn and reunited with his relatives over the weekend. Where'd he go next? They don't like me at the Hampton Inn. I mean, he's on to the bad La Quinta, Dom.
Not the good one, but the bad one. That's on the other side of Port Washington. Christian Ziegler, he was the chairman of the Republican Party, has been suspended That was the threesome guy with the Moms for Liberty co-founder Bridget. So he was the chairman, not the executive director. Well, whatever the difference is.
The chairman was the guy that was thrown out for the accused rape, right? It wasn't the threesome that was problematic. It was the fact that the former threesome partner he went over and allegedly raped, although apparently he also videotaped the escapade and claims that somehow exonerating.
I think those charges were they dropped? He denies being I'm not clear on how that all came to conclusion.
Well, he did tell them he wasn't quitting. They'd have to buy him out.
Buy me out.
You know, I can appreciate the attitude. 844-967-2789.
All right. Well, a couple of positions open in Florida. I mean, the Florida, we got George Riley and we got this Christensen guy. So, you know, if you're down for the Republicans and you're looking to, you know, get involved in your local political party, there might be a few openings at the Florida GOP for you.
Now, that state, apparently, they think might be in play due to legalized recreational marijuana on the ballot. Also, the abortion issue is going to be on the ballot there because Florida, similarly to Arizona, had a Supreme Court ruling that was very draconian and then also a kicker, a referendum on the ballot, which should turn out the base. And I'm not sure what that means for Florida, Dom, but my understanding is the Biden campaign will put resources in Florida. They think these two referendum issues will excite the electorate and will get them out to vote and could make Florida in play. And that would certainly shape the electoral map.
Oh, it changes the whole thing.
A Democrat hasn't won Florida since Obama. So anyways, if Florida's in play, it's a whole new map. Another Florida person, Judge Eileen Cannon. I don't know if you know, but she apparently has wiped the classified documents case off the July trial calendar. That's the latest being reported. No way
and
that's happening now.
Surprising. Yeah, not surprising.
Judge Cannon effectively eliminates July trial schedule. U.S. District Judge, I hate calling her that, District Court Judge Eileen Cannon effectively eliminated the possibility that former President Donald Trump could go to trial in July for allegedly mishandling classified documents. Do we need allegedly at this point?
Her mine.
In an order on Wednesday, Cannon said Trump had until May 9th to disclose which classified documents he would use for his defense. Guardian reporter Hugo Lowell pointed out that the special counsel, Jack Smith, had proposed March 18th. That's quite a difference in timing, Dom, for Trump to file his notice under Section 5 of the Classified Information Procedures Act, CIPA. That's not an unreasonable length of time to give Trump. It's typical to give defendants in the NatSec cases several weeks to draft their Section 5 notice, so it's sufficiently specific. But a May 9th deadline might be frustrating for the special counsel. You think? I mean, Jack Smith's got to be ready to lose his freaking mind on this hack partisan. Why did he not ask her to recuse like Trump does of every single trial judge? Recuse, 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 recuse. Why did Jack Smith ask?
Because
I mean, my perception
of hack. He's not a hack like Trump's attorneys. And once you go down that road, there's really no going back. And it further delays the trial. Now, he may eventually get there, but he's exercising, I guess, a modicum of self-restraint. Back to the Raw story, special counsel proposed a March 18th deadline for Trump to file a Section 5 notice in order to get a July 24 trial. No way that's happening now, given the deadline is 7 weeks later. But she also didn't give Trump until June 17th like he wanted. So no 11th Circuit ammo either. So he's not going to run this up the flagpole. Of course, he faces 37 criminal charges related to the illegal retention of classified documents as Florida State after leaving. The charges include violations of the Espionage Act, conspiracy to obstruct justice, and making false statements to investigators. The most serious among these are 31 counts under the Espionage Act, which could lead up to 10 years in prison for each count. Ugh! I mean, so the election interference, you know, trial in Manhattan starting on Monday is small potatoes compared to what this could be. Now, let's assume, and I don't think Trump's going to win. Let's assume Trump does not win. and this trial gets delayed until whenever. And presumably, let's just walk down the road, he gets convicted on at least some of those charges. Well, the man's going to get convicted in New York. I mean, presumably, unless there's some sort of, you know, Trumpian person on the jury that for no reason will not, under any circumstance, vote for him to be guilty, regardless of the preponderance of evidence in that case. But he could be sitting in jail for the state crimes. He'd be sitting in jail for the federal crimes. I mean, 10 years times 31 counts, man. You do that math. And I got to tell you, I know we're all kind of like, when's this going to start? Well, starting Monday, folks. And while these things are continue to be delayed, we know criminal trial starts Monday. That's going to be the focus on the effort. And for several weeks after that, we're going to be thinking about it, talking about it, evaluating what is going on. And the clock will continue to tick. The earth will continue to spin. And next thing you know, a week from then, we got Tish James, you know, putting a microscope on the $175 million fraudulent bond deal. I mean, who does a fraudulent bond deal who just got convicted of fraud? I mean, allegedly. We'll see if there's any weight to that. And then after that, we have these other, in April, end of April, right? The U.S. Supreme Court is going to evaluate whether or not the former president has absolute immunity. He doesn't. And once that hammer drops, boom, Chuck Kin's going to put that thing on trial. So he could be on trial for that during the RNC here in the great city of Milwaukee.
I don't want to burst your bubble, fella. I know you were the bubble burster on the show for years. That was sort of your role.
I mean,
we will get one trial only. We get one bite at the apple. The New York trial, the voter deception trial, the hush money to a porn star, the former president raw-dogged, that trial that begins on Monday, I suspect will be the only trial between here and election day.
Why wouldn't Chuckin's trial start?
Before
November, dude. What? Why?
First, you got to get a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court, right? On the whole question of presidential immunity. They dragged it out until April 25th before oral arguments. They're not going to drop anything until the end of June. And then you got to get on the federal trial schedule of a judge. So let's add 2 months onto that. I mean, maybe September.
Okay.
Maybe. Or any other delays pushes it beyond the election, Dom. Even if they rolled out the trial in September, they would not get to a point of conviction between there and election day. I would strongly suspect the trial would last beyond September. Hell, it could last beyond 2 months, September, October, and then effectively you've got an election first week of November.
So you're telling me, like, during the most critical part of the presidential campaign,
he'll be campaigning from the courthouse lawn, Dom.
The evidence being presented in trial and therefore to the American people on how the current Republican leader was trying to subvert democracy in this country. It'll be on the news every single night, reminding every single voter of what a POS this guy is and how dangerous it would be if he gets that. And then after all that, what, you think he gets elected? Hell's to the no, dude.
Well, you say it will be on every station. It won't. It won't be on Fox News, not with consistency, not with the sort of clear factual-based coverage.
They won't be able to avoid it.
You think they'll be covering that? They'll provide a platform for the former president to sit there and lie through his teeth and deny all the evidence you heard. And again, these won't be a bunch of Democrats. These will be a bunch of Trump confidants, people that worked in his corporation, his former fixer, Michael Cohen. Oh, yeah. And Stormy Daniels. And one more, Dom. There is some indication being made by Trump's legal team that he intends to give testimony. Please, for the love of God, put him on the stand. Do it. Do it.
Under oath. Absolutely.
That would perhaps lead to a 5-month stay in Rikers for perjury charges.
Well, he's like old times. The CFO might still be there.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls as well. One last segment to throw in your hot takes. 844-967-2789.
This is 93.5 The Tap. A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
You're listening to Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you have something to say, hit us up on the lines at 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. Rich will get to you. In the meantime, we'll start with Nick from Madtown. Welcome, Nick. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Been a while. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, likewise.
Two things. First, Kurt, you said something yesterday. I didn't get to talk to you, but you said that there are probably more people listening to you than are watching CNN. I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Maybe a slight exaggeration, but... Right. The greatest radio show ever, man. We're probably speaking to billions right now.
At least.
Yeah. It's probably accurate. Okay. But what I want to talk about, since you were talking about judges, is, and this is something that you brought up yesterday, I didn't get to talk about. Sorry if I'm off topic. I just got home. But I personally don't think judges should be elected at all. I think they should be appointed. There should be terms. And different governors should appoint them, but I don't think they should be elected because I know nothing about the law.
What about the federal judiciary, Nick? Someone like Eileen Cannon, we're talking about the West Palm Beach, the classified documents case. She seems completely unqualified. She has a lifetime judicial appointment from Donald Trump, and she is bent over backwards first to try and push a special master out there, which was ridiculous. She got shot down by the 11th Circuit. Now she's made every endeavor she can to tilt the scales of justice to the benefit of Donald Trump. You know, by your prior statement here, Nick, you'd prefer the Eileen Cannon route.
No, I also never mentioned lifetime appointments, but I don't believe in that either anymore.
Well, then how are we going to pick them? If not by election or lifetime appointment, you want them to be above reproach. You would like to think that these judges, you know, they're not in it for a 2-year term or whatever the case may be. So how do you compromise between a lifetime appointment and no elections?
Okay. I've actually thought about this, and I would say that any judge who is appointed should their term should end when whoever appointed them will no longer be in office. So they don't know who's going to appoint them.
That'd be chaos.
I mean, they can be reappointed.
Nick, that would be chaos in the judiciary, because every time a federal judge is appointed, they have to go through a Senate confirmation process. Let's not forget how friends, the Republicans, blocked so many of the judicial appointments of Obama. Then they opened up the floodgates for Trump with appointments like Eileen Cannon. And, you know, if we lose one or two seats in the Senate, Joe Biden won't have the opportunity to place any judiciary on the court.
Well, look at this from another angle. If we're talking about elected judges, let's say you are on trial for a crime you didn't commit. Okay. But the judge is up for an election, and he's probably going to go harder on you because
he doesn't want to look soft on Judge Darrow down in Waukesha County, who immediately pivoted from the Kenosha the Waukesha Parade, the massacre on Christmas, where some guy drove through the crowd and pivoted immediately to run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Is that the bothersome conduct you're talking about, Nick? I mean, no doubt the guy was guilty, but she certainly pandered to the cameras in the courtroom.
Yes, and I have a problem with judges pandering to cameras to get elected, being elected by people who don't know the law. I'm not saying I have all the right answers, okay? I just don't think judges should be elected. There's a better way. But I don't have the right way. I'm not going to.
Nick, appreciate your
appointed by God. You know, I'll be the appointee, Nick. I'll do it all. Don't worry about it, man. I got you.
I feel quite confident making Wisconsin Supreme Court elected votes. Now, if it comes to the appellate level or a district court judge, and so many of these, at least the spring election being the example, I don't know if there was a single contested judicial race on my ballot in Dane County, in Middleton. You know, so you didn't really have to think very hard. But what I would say is Supreme Court races, yeah, I think the electorate can be properly educated. And I think that people are. And I don't like the fact that all of these races have devolved into partisan races. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I'm just fine with the process we have now. And sadly, here, you know, Nick, I know you're not a MAGA Trumpster, but here's the reality. Immediately after this November's 2024 election, Ann Walsh Bradley is on the clock. And if we, you know, obviously, I am hopeful for fair elections. New
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ann Walsh Bradley.
Yes, she will be on the ballot next spring. Her term is up, her 10-year term. Tom, I can't believe it was 10 years ago that we had her in studio at the old joint. But anyways, this new fair map brought to you by the Republicans, you know, the legislature that knew they had lost the case, and then by the signature of Tony Evers. Well, one turn of one justice, meaning if Ann Walsh Bradley does not hold serve, if the incumbent does not hold her seat, if the former attorney general, and that's a pretty large office, I mean, at least people have heard of Brad Schimmel, pardon me, I use him in the GOP chair interchangeably, but the former attorney general of the state of Wisconsin has already declared he is a candidate against Ann Walsh Bradley. Now, I am much more, Nick, looking forward to the next year, 2026, because I'm already laying out my calendar, Dom.
Come on, man.
April of 2026.
You might not even be alive by then, Curtis. Well, don't get ahead of yourself.
Fair point, but the bad Bradley's on the ballot, Dom.
Ooh, yeah.
Rebecca Bradley. So, if we could hold serve in 2025, and Ann Walsh Bradley, the vast majority of all incumbents win re-election, like over 85%, I think she's got a good chance. Brad Schimmel's obviously got more notoriety than some, but I remember when he ran for AG. He was not a bright man. He's Vicky McKenna, right-wing talk radio host. The day he announced his candidacy, she encouraged more candidates to enter the race. Said effectively he wasn't ready for prime time. He didn't know his website. He didn't know his positions on most issues. Yet somehow they cleared the field for this guy, and they'll do it again because it's their only chance. You can't go with Dan Kelly. There's not three L's in Kelly.
There would be if you ran again.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for joining us. A hump day edition. We'll do it again for you on Friday Eve and also Friday. Although I hear it's getting really nice this weekend. Might have to go get on a boat. Thank you for listening. The Busted Pencils is next.
Thank you to our previous guest, John Nichols from The Nation magazine. Thank you to our fine audience. And thank you, Rich, for putting up with Curdy.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Thursday on Up North News Radio, our friends from Motherhood for Good take over the Women Win Wisconsin weekly feature, highlighting community leaders across our state.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At least one person's died in severe storms today in Mississippi, where thunderstorms and tornadoes reportedly tore through neighborhoods.